on.
Hi. Okay, it's working. Pause. Go ahead.
I'd like to call to order this special meeting of the Medina Township Trustees. It is September 10th, 2018, at 7 p.m. Can I have a roll call, please?
Ken DeMichael.
Here.
Mike Stolpa.
Here.
Mark Raddus.
Here.
You would please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If we could please have a moment of silence for our military members, both home and abroad, and I suppose for all the people in the path of that hurricane that's coming up the coast. Thank you. Do we know, was this it was advertised as general business as well?
Yes.
Okay. So, first up is executive session for employee discipline. I'm not sure who would like to call that so that the proper people are included. I don't.
I'll make a motion to go into executive session for employee discipline with the three trustees, fiscal officer, and Matt Schley.
Second.
Mike Stolpa.
Aye.
Ken DeMichael.
Aye.
Mark Raddus.
Aye.
We will enter executive session at 7:02 p.m.
It's a big crowd tonight, huh?
Oh, yeah. Not watching TV.
What happened to the last one? I think I missed the last two, actually.
The last one, just general business, and they went executive session for employee discipline, and
bunch of people screwing up.
Something's going on.
Yeah, seems like every time there's a, at least one meeting, executive session about it, that's strange. Makes you wonder what it's about.
Well, should have been whatever it was handled by now, you would think.
Unless something keeps coming up, you never know, I guess.
That's, you know, that's possible. Yeah, they did some site plans and some signage.
Now, for some new businesses and stuff?
Yep.
A lot of stuff being put in. Well, the Browns game was just kind of. I still don't know how to feel.
I don't need to watch professional football anymore.
Now,
after last year's controversy with the national anthem and all that,
hey, you're not the only one.
I said, "That's it. I'll just stick with college ball."
You're not the only one. There's a lot of people.
These guys are overpaid.
Well, there's no doubt about it.
And they're whining about the stupidest little thing. You know, you're there being paid to play a game. We're there to be entertained.
And to forget about everything else.
Forget who's president.
I want to watch football. I don't care what's going on in the world. I'm there to lose my mind for 4 hours and watch the Browns lose or win.
Exactly. For them to do a fist pump or a kneel or whatever, no matter who you are or whatever,
that's the one place I always could get away from everything. It sucked.
So, college ball, there's nobody, you know, shedding points or screwing up to, you know, turn the game one way or the other. College ball, they were there to win, play as a team. And I still don't like it. That's it for professional football.
A lot of people like you. Lots.
And you see the attendance records are dropping. Hopefully the revenue's dropping.
Oh, it definitely is. I mean,
these guys are complaining, and don't they realize that's affecting their pensions? But nope. They don't get it.
You know, they protest about it, but then when in the off season they don't do anything.
No.
They don't do anything to try and help the community or go out of their own way, and very few people that do.
There are some good football players in the professional league, and they're not getting caught up in all of this.
Yeah.
There's just a handful of those guys.
Exactly. Yeah. Most of them are there to get a payday. So there are very few to use their payday to actually help others, but not a lot of them.
And then there's a group that, you know, they're getting tons of money, and then you hear about them 5 years later, they're filing bankruptcy because they're broke. So, I don't get it.
Yeah, college ball, I got something to play for. I wish I could get into college ball. The only team I ever liked was West Virginia, so.
WVE,
Never got into, I liked West Virginia a lot better when they were out of the Big 12. It was a lot more fun when they played Pitt and stuff.
They're ranked, what, 15th or somewhere around here?
Yeah, 15th or 14th, I thought. They're a good team this year. They usually have good teams. The first couple of years they joined the Big 12, that was tough. they weren't quite ready for that, but they adjusted pretty good. Still can't believe Tavon Austin really never did anything in the NFL. I thought for sure he would, but just amazing how you can go from college to professional and
That's a whole different league when you go from college to professional.
You can be the star person on a team and you won't be anything in the NFL. It's amazing.
It's like going from high school sports. You think you're it on the stick. And then when you get in college, it's like you got people from all around the country at your level, if not better.
Yeah.
And you're just an average person now.
Yeah.
And then you go from the college to the pros. It's again,
even more so. You've got more selection, better players. It's pretty wild.
Well, at least the Browns didn't embarrass themselves.
They're gonna make it. They're making a turnaround, I think. I've said that 1,000 times. Well, for the last 18 years now, going on 19 years, so. Got to do it eventually, I guess.
It'll probably take them another 3 to 4 years to get good and solid.
Yep.
I mean, they're kind of in that rebuilding phase right now.
Yep. But I think they're finally in the right rebuilding phase. Yeah, it's not going to turn around in a year.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Ready for a riveting one?
Well, they have their meeting ready.
Yeah.
For how long?
It could be hours.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It starts going past another 15 minutes. I'll get out of here. You know, the biggest problem, too, is they didn't, when they started all that crap, they didn't just nip it in the bud right there, all the protests, and they didn't just stop it. They let it go.
Yep.
Then they pissed everybody off.
Festered.
And they didn't really do anything about it. They still haven't really done anything about it.
Didn't they leave it up to each organization to deal with it? I thought the NFL was a national.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Do it as a policy for all the teams.
The problem is they already did. I mean, really, they already did their damage. I was amazed. I mean, not even before the Browns started losing more than 5 games last year, I was surprised how few people were going down.
Yeah. Well, the tickets are getting very costly. You know, I don't know what a ticket is, but by the time you park and you get a couple hot dogs and a couple drinks.
Well, beer is $11 in the stadium. That's like just for a Bud Light. $11.
How much?
$11. It's nuts. I mean, I don't know how people afford to drink inside the stadium.
The average family, I don't see how they can afford it now.
What few of the tickets running at?
I'm 10 rows up from the field, and like two sections over from where the Browns were out. Me and my brother are, and I'm at $1,000 a year. About $100 a game. Some are like, you know, $70 and they're prorated. So like the Steelers game, the home opener was like $125 for my tickets, but it comes out to right around $1,000. But the better they get, the more expensive it's gonna get. But if they stay bad, my tickets don't go down. I thought they'd be cheaper this year. Yeah, I think like a Great Lakes beer or something like that was something like $15 for a can. I mean, wow. It's nuts. But you see people drinking it all day. I mean,
for that price, can you wait till you get home?
That's why we tailgate. We just drink, you know, you just drink before, mm-hmm. and then you just drink water in the stadium. By the time you go home, you're sober as a bird, and you can drive then. But I can't believe how many people go down there and just drink all day in the stadium, and then I don't know what they do. I don't know how they get home.
And there's probably a lot of businesses that are paying for season tickets and hand them out to some of the employees.
Yeah. Yeah, our company's got 8 tickets, I think, now.
They'll eventually price themselves out of the market. hear what happened to the Redskins? And again, I don't know if it's true or not. They did a kneel on the field, and the cops that were supposed to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
Players went in the locker room.
I heard that.
There were about 11 of them left, and the cops said, see you later, you're on your own. So they stayed in the locker room overnight till the next morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were afraid to leave. The fans were pissed.
Huh.
And somebody said, well, you need to fire the cops. And headquarters said they weren't on our payroll.
Yeah.
They were on the NFL's payroll.
It just sure is an amazing time to live in. Get offended and upset and protest anything you want. That blossom last night, boy, it was.
Oh my God!
You ever been up there?
Oh, years ago.
Yeah, it's all grass parking lot.
Yeah.
And everybody was pulling in last night, and all these Mustangs and you know just two wheel drive cars. You're all pulling in the same exact area and then spreading out from there. Oh my gosh! I mean, I pulled in my truck and I was sliding sideways. It was so muddy. I mean, there was when we went to leave, we left a little early and it. There was just cars everywhere, just sitting spinning.
Stuck.
I told my buddy, I said, I should go get my four-wheeler and take it up there and pull people out for $20 a pop. I'd make a killing in one night. That was a bad move. I mean, that ground was just, as soon as you stepped on it, it was just...
like a big giant sponge.
Yeah, that's exactly. Muddy sponge. Hopefully it dries up because they've got Ozzy Osbourne this weekend, I think. Be a lot of creeps going up for that.
Yeah, it'll dry out by then.
Hopefully.
It's supposed to be upper 70s, low 80s up through Saturday, I think, with no rain.
Right.
So.
I saw when that's supposed to get a lot of sun, but hopefully it's hopefully we get some because I haven't seen the sun, I think, in like 4 days now.
There will be all cutting grass the next couple days.
Yeah. Yeah, because as wet as it is, if it gets halfway warm and sunny, that grass is going to grow like crazy.
Yeah, I got it cut just before the rain, so, you know.
I heard you cut, and that's the only reason I went and got mine. I said, that's a pretty good idea. I said, I'm going to go grab my lawnmower. Said PA got hit hard. They had videos of people with water up to their knees and stuff. And that other one's coming up too now, I saw it.
Mm-hmm. It's been pretty bad too.
It said 150 mile an hour winds when it hit shore. I mean, that could change, you never know, but
it's really, we'll see how much that affects us.
It's a straight sideways trajectory too, so it's probably gonna
right in the Carolinas, sir.
It's probably gonna hit us hard unless we get some kind of eastern wind. Or west-east wind.
They say what this is about, or
an executive session for
employee discipline.
There's something else they said they were talking about,
and they've got general business after that.
That's what we were talking about. Those they've had a lot of these employee discipline meetings. I wonder what's going on. whether it's all the same issue or it's something different every time.
Whose car is that? Did you guys get that old car?
That's my sister's car.
Is it?
And she gave it to my brother, and he gave it back to her. And she's going to sell it, but it needs a tune-up. What it's worth,
What is that thing?
56 Fairlane.
Is it? In fact, it looked like a Ford. I wasn't sure what it was. Straight six?
No, probably 292, 272
yeah.
or 92.
292, which, yeah.
It's in pretty good shape, I think. I mean, you could just clean up and keep it like that, or, if you want to do a restoration, it's good enough to do that.
Yeah.
I think they'll probably come up and do a tune-up on it. I don't know what she's going to advertise it up here, but she lives down by Coshocton.
Oh, okay.
And so, it'd be better to try and sell it up here.
Oh, yeah. Throw it up by the skating rink or...
Yeah. I might even do that.
How bad's it run now, or is it just... It just really needs a run through?
It needs a tune-up, yeah.
Still got points, probably, I'm sure.
And the engine actually needs steam cleaned.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's the best thing I ever did on that old truck I got, is get rid of the points and put an electronic ignition.
Oh, yeah.
Phew. What a pain in the ass those points are.
Yeah. See, it sat for probably 2 years.
Yeah.
It was stored inside, but, didn't run.
It didn't look that bad. I mean, just from seeing it from the front, it didn't look too bad.
Yeah, I might do that if they do the tune-up, clean it up, and I don't know or get it steam cleaned. Did you clean your own engine or?
I'm trying to think who, the engine guy I go to usually, the guy who builds the engines out in Lafayette, I think he's got a steam cleaner, but I don't know if it's a, if he's just got a bath style one, you know, where it sits in a tub. I don't know if he's got one that's movable, like out, you know, outside or anything. Mine wasn't too dirty. I just took a hose and some S500 to it, and cleaned it up. Decent, clean, you know, good enough for me.
Yeah. You could probably take it up to the car wash and clean it.
You got a dwell meter and everything to set the points?
I don't, but I think my brother-in-law does.
Okay. I was gonna say, I didn't get my hands on one if you need it. I said that last thing. The older guy I work with, he's into Chevelles, and I told him I wanted to do a tune-up on that truck, and he says, you want to go electronic ignition? I said, nah, I never really mess with points, you know, let's do it. So he came over one Saturday, and after we got done, I said, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I said, I'll run it this year. I said, but next year I'm putting, it's like $80 to put in electronic ignition.
Really?
You never have to touch it again.
How much work is it, Tom?
You pretty much gut the distributor. You put a little pack inside the distributor and you just set it with a little piece of plexiglass they give you that's 30 thousandths away from the can. And it's just a, what do they call those? It's just a magnetic pickup, so every time it hits, it reads off a magnet. Every time that magnet hits, then it sends a spark to the point, and then out to plug, out to wires to the plug. But I bought the coil too, so I think, honestly, I think altogether, I think I had $140 into it, because the coil was a little bit more expensive, but it was well worth it, because now I never have to, I don't have to part with it ever again. It just, it's done.
Does it run better?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it runs a lot better. It ran pretty good, but the other problem I had last year was the guy at Napa that sold me my thermostat on it, sold me a 195-degree thermostat. That's way too hot for those old trucks. It should be like 160, 180.
Oh, yeah.
So when we tuned it all, it was way too hot. Didn't run right when it was cold. But I got that all fixed out. They run a lot better without a thermostat anyways. You know, riding them in the winter anytime, so it doesn't matter. You don't need heat.
Yeah, if you're going to fart around with it and you need help, just let me know.
Is it an automatic?
Yeah. I don't know what something like that's worth. You know, it's in fair shape.
Any rust or rot?
I didn't see any, but I did look real close.
I didn't go real close. It depends. Classic cars are getting crazy right now because auctions picked up all summer. So they had all those auctions on TV and people just...
Machens?
Yeah, Meekums and Barrett Jackson. But they have those, you know, they have them throughout the year, but it seems like in the summertime you obviously get more out of the cars in the summertime than you do in the wintertime. But people are, I mean, a truck like mine, I could sell it all day for $10,000 and I bought it for like $4,000.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know. Some people are nuts and then some people put sentimental value on cars and it's...
Right, or if they had one when they were a kid or their dad had a car
right.
Like that. And
when I bought that truck, the kid was asking $6,000. He said, well, it was me and my grandpa's. I said,
yeah.
I said, no offense. I said, but I don't give two shits. I said, it doesn't make any difference to me. I said,
yeah.
I don't know your grandpa. I said, I just met you. And I said, hey, you're adding $2,000 onto a price that doesn't exist. I said, just because it means something to you. I said, to me, it's just another truck. So Did they drive it up here? Or they trailer it on your trailer?
They brought it over on a trailer.
Yeah.
But my brother went, he took it over to that garage in Valley City and parked it in there.
Oh, it was just over in Valley City there?
Yeah, yeah. It was only about maybe 2 or 3 miles from my brother's house over there. And he took it over there and they parked it inside there.
Pink cars. There's a lot of those back in the day. That is a pink, that's like pink and white, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
I don't think that was original cars.
No.
I don't know. I doubt it.
What color's the interior on that thing? Is it pink? Is it a pink interior?
Yeah.
That's too funny. It's like she wants a Nomad. I told her, I said, you better have $50,000 laying around for a pile of junk because they're nuts.
What is it?
The 55 to 57
Bellar Station. Chevy?
Yeah, the station wagons, the Nomads.
Yeah. That could be pricey, yeah.
I did see one guy in Medina had one for sale over last winter. And it was in pieces. And I mean, it was in pretty rough shape. And he was asking, like, I think it was $7,500. It didn't have an engine. I mean, it didn't have anything. It was just the body, the glass, and that's it.
Oh.
That's the going price for them thing. Those Nomads are, I guess they didn't make a whole lot of them, and they're worth a lot of money when you find them.
I was looking at that auction. You know, the cars that seemed to be reasonable were like Audis or Mercedes or BMWs, and they weren't bad prices for what the cars originally sold for, and some of them were pretty damn nice shape.
Yeah. Trucks are going for a lot this year. I don't know why.
Trucks all over, yeah.
Especially, for some reason, the 60s, 50s and 60s trucks are just going for crazy amounts of money. 70s and 80s, not so much, but 50s and 60s are just going for crazy amounts of money. I don't know what a Fairlane's worth. I've never been a Ford guy, so I don't know.
I don't know if you get 10, maybe 10.
I would think so. I mean, if it runs and drives, then the body's halfway decent. That's not out of the question, I wouldn't think. Got to find the right guy that wants it.
Got a neighbor down in West Virginia. He's got a Corvette Stingray. I don't know what year that is. It's in the 90s. And it's been redone, and he wants 19 for it. It looks nice.
Yeah.
I don't know the value of them.
I never got into Corvettes.
He's not, you know, down there, I don't think there's much of a market for it.
Yeah. There's not a whole lot of money in West Virginia, unfortunately.
Not like that, no.
Yeah.
Now it's a pickup truck.
Yeah. Especially if it was jacked up.
Yeah.
You can take the Yamaha down to West Virginia this time.
No, not last time I didn't.
Oh.
I just took the Honda down there.
Okay.
Because I brought the fence back.
Oh, all right.
But I've got all I need now, so It's still on the trailer, but I have that other trailer, so I'll take the side-by-side and the Honda down when I go down. We'll probably stay down there for a couple of weeks, I guess. I'm not going to get down there till 24th or 25th of the month.
Oh, really?
I've got a few things going on.
Yeah, the next week? I think it's next week, Friday's when we leave for Germany.
Oh, is it already? Yeah.
Yeah, next week, Friday.
Is it? Yeah.
Gone for 8 days.
Yeah. Where are you flying into?
I think we're flying into Frankfurt, and then we ride a train into Munich.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, that Frankfurt airport, I'm like, God, wow, that thing is huge.
That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
We were talking today, I said, you know, we're there for 8 days, what are we going to do for luggage? And do we just carry a backpack and just carry a couple pairs of clothes and then you just get them laundered when we're
in? Laundromat, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking instead of having, because we have a hotel for like 3 days in Munich, so we figured we'll spend 3 days at Oktoberfest. And then the other days, she wants to go see Cinderella Castle and all the, you know, the castles on the mountains and stuff.
Prince Ludwig's Castle?
Yeah. She wants to go see that one.
There's two of them there.
Okay.
Ludwig's, and then you build another one and just come down the hill and go up to the other.
Okay.
And it's interesting. It's nice going.
So I've heard.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking. I mean, it's great because you can jump on a train and almost go anywhere in Germany. It's, mm-hmm. it's not like here. But we're like, man, do we want to haul around a big, you know, bag the whole time? Or do we just kind of throw what we got in a book bag? And
now you can't afford to do it. They charge the hell out of you.
Apparently, since we're flying American, and she has an American credit card or something, whoever she's, you get like, mm-hmm. we each have two bags that we can check. I mean, we can check up two bags, so four bags between us. And, mm-hmm. I don't think I even own that many clothes. But.
Yeah, that's what my son, he makes all the arrangements and everything. So, you know, he flies so much that, and he knows all the angles and what to get and whatnot. Because we went to Prague, and then we went to Frankfurt. Then we flew into Florence, I believe, Italy. And that's where we stayed the last few days there.
Okay.
Went to Florence, Vinci, Pisa, and a couple other towns in there. It was a nice trip. Yeah, it's nice now. It's so easy to travel, you know.
I was worried we had to rent a car, and then I started looking into it. You can, I mean, if you want to.
Well, in Prague we didn't rent a car because it's pretty congested, and we went on a bus tour
yep.
into the Czech Republic, and then when we went into Italy, I think we rented a car at Florence, I believe.
Okay.
And it's something driving over there.
That's what I've heard.
And they have a lot of the roundabouts.
Yeah.
But there'll be three lanes in them.
That's what I heard.
Well, you better watch. He was driving. Oh, man.
That's what I heard. I heard it's interesting.
And we went to some wineries and went to the town where who was the scientist that back in the 1500s went to his town, Leonardo da Vinci.
Oh, okay.
Went to Vinci, and that was interesting. Beautiful country, and you know, they have like the towers, you look out over the countryside.
That's what I'm looking forward to, is the buildings.
Vineyards. You know, they grow a lot of shrubs over in Italy. A lot of them. You know, a lot of nurseries.
Really?
Yeah. We're in this area where we're at.
Really?
I just think, I'm excited to see the mountains and stuff.
Yeah, oh, we'd see, well, actually, we're both sides of this, you know, we were, you know, we went to Rome before, and they were at Rome probably a couple of times, and I wanted to see the countryside, so that's more or less why we went there. It was nice. A nice place where we rented a villa. I mean, it was nice, yeah. Had it for, I guess, probably 5 days or so. And Bobby came over, he came over and went with us, I think, and then he came back home, and then he went back again. He goes back and forth.
Yeah.
Taking a cab, you know. There was like five of us there for a while. It was a pretty nice place.
I told her, I said, you know, if this turns out to be a good trip, just plan another one for next year, because she booked those flights for a year in advance. I mean, $600 for a round trip is ridiculous. Like, that's such a good price. She looked the other couple weeks ago, and it was up to $1,800 or something for a round trip, so yeah. It was double the cost and then some, so.
It bothered us to go. We'd go to Cologne and then go down the Rhine to Rüdesheim on the Rhine.
Okay.
And he does that pretty regularly. He likes that area. It's nice.
I'm excited. I've never been out of the country. I think the only place I ever went was.
It's interesting. Yeah. When I went over there to Weingarten with Jim Moore, the first time I went over there, that's when we went to the. Prince Ludwig's, or okay. King Ludwig's, Prince of King, castle and all that. We had like, got there like in the middle of the week and had the whole weekend, and they had like a Oktoberfest. It was maybe a little early, but it was the same thing.
Yeah.
It was nice.
That's
and
cool.
We went to a couple of different towns over the weekend. We did some nice sightseeing.
And they built a plant over there? Or?
No, that's when they, GM was building, buying a couple of presses from,
okay.
Germany from Weingarten.
Okay.
There was that was the name of those presses. I forget what they were now. But I think they're going out of that.
Yeah.
You tore them out.
You were a carpenter for them, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you did? You were a carpenter for GM?
No, pipe fitter.
Dan was a carpenter, wasn't he? Paul?
Yeah, Dan Paul.
Dan was a carpenter, that's right.
He was a carpenter in Cleveland, I think.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in years. Is he still there? Or?
No.
No, he's retired. His daughter, Carolyn, married my brother, Brian.
Oh, okay.
That's my nephew I was watching the other day. It was her, Dan's daughter's kid.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't seen him in a long time.
Hey, remember he said he used to go hunting with you?
Mm-hmm.
He had been a couple times.
In grouse hunt. I think down southern Ohio, and I don't know if I went up to Michigan with him or not. I know he used to go up there. I think I went to southern Ohio with him a few times.
I don't know if he hunts much anymore. I know he used to a lot, but I don't know if he does much anymore. He's got two grandsons now, so I think he's got his time pretty well filled up.
Did he build a cabin somewhere down south?
Yeah, I've heard him talk about it before. I've never seen it, but I've heard him talk about it. I don't remember where it was. I thought him and a couple friends went together and bought some property or something.
There's a couple guys that have places down that in the same areas where Dan was at.
Yeah. Yeah, they got smart and they bought all that land when you could buy it for next to nothing.
Yeah.
Now it's not as bad as it was a couple of years ago, but two or three years ago when that shale oil was going crazy, that land down south went nuts. I used to be able to buy it for, was it 10 years ago, you used to be able to buy it for $1,000 an acre or something like that,
yeah,
I think it was?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I had a couple of chances to buy some. Well, we did have a place that's near Seneca Lake, 10 acres down there.
Okay.
That might have been an area where they were drilling.
Yeah.
I should have kept it, but, you know, it was a nice piece of land, but unless you had a boat or something right there, that's about what you could do, you know.
Yeah.
In West Virginia, you know, you can go ride, you can go fish the rivers and do a few more things down there and hunt a little bit more if you want to hunt. Hunting's a little bit better than Ohio.
Yep.
Not a hell of a lot.
As long as you can find your deer after you shoot it.
Yeah, we're gonna.
Takes off over the mountain.
Hope it doesn't run down the side of the mountain.
Exactly.
I don't know if there's more deer here, but they're more accessible because, you know, you can.
Right.
They're not gonna run, like you say, over the side of the hill or a couple miles down the mountains and never see them again.
I haven't seen as many right around us lately this year as I have the other years. I don't know if it's just haven't been paying attention enough or not.
I took some corn out last week. It took a few days for them to find it, and then they cleaned that up. Or a buddy of mine said, well, maybe it wasn't the deer, maybe it was a coon.
Yeah, it could be.
So damn many coon.
Those things will eat anything.
And I put some out today, and I got a camera. I bought another camera, so I took it out.
Yeah, those things will eat anything. Them and groundhogs. I don't see much of them anymore, though. They were bad when I bought that house. They had holes all around underneath that deck. That whole deck was nothing but groundhog holes. They were in that field, too. Took care of them.
Time's 4, you come on 8 o'clock.
I think it's 8.
Yeah. Indians are on now, aren't they? Or where are they playing at?
Boy, you just heard it on the radio today.
It rained out if they're here, huh?
I didn't think it was here. Maybe it was. Let me see. One to one there. Tampa Bay.
Oh, I think they may be. Yeah.
I think they're in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
It's 1-1 right now. It's top of the third, bottom of the second. Hard to believe they're in first place.
Could have put a TV up or watch the ball game while it's sitting
there. Yeah. Is it a four tracks or a Rincon you got? The Honda?
Yeah.
So the big four wheeler, the 700 cc's or 680?
No, it's not that big.
That's the four tracks?
It's the Foreman.
Foreman, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably, I don't know, it might be 500, 450 or 500. Yeah. And we have that Rancher that's
it's 350. Is it 350?
Yeah.
There's one that's smaller than that too, that's a 250. Yeah. They still make, I don't remember what that one was.
I think I'm going to sell the Rancher. You know, the kids don't even ride anymore, you know. They all had them when they were kids, and it was a big deal now.
Yeah.
It's, you don't have time for it. You don't even come over here and ride.
Did you ever go introduce yourself to that lady that built that big house? Did you ever go meet that lady that built that big house at the end?
No, not there. I've met people across the road, you know.
Yeah.
I haven't met that one, no.
They're going to have that other house done before they get hers done.
Yeah, isn't that something? Yeah, that.
I saw there's been a plumber there the last couple of days. I don't know.
It's a shame there's, you know, those builders, I guess they take on a whole bunch of jobs. And then,
is that what's happened?
Well, I assume.
Yeah.
Because he was.
She got a late start last year because she bought the land. She bought the land last October, I think.
Yeah.
And she was hoping to break ground. And Pepperwood told her they were too busy. So they didn't break ground. And then she was hoping to be in this next year.
Well, I think they're probably just as well as to have a winter house. I don't think that's a good idea.
Building a house
in the middle of the winter.
No.
Yeah.
They broke ground there in the middle of April.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize it's been that long. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, they
can whip a house out in 2 months now if they, you know.
They worked on the roof, and then they'd be gone for 3 or 4 days, and then they'd finish it. It took them like 2 or 3 trips to do that. And then I think the first one's the Amish, the one they framed it and everything. They put the windows and everything, but they haven't put any doors on it.
Wonder what that plumber's doing there. Let's see, he's just putting the main system in. I don't know. She's already got that lady down the street or whoever it is. They've already got grass and everything. I mean, she doesn't have any. You know, she doesn't have anything yet. That house is almost all done, sided and everything.
Yeah, I saw the siding when I went by the other day. Yeah, that's Curran Brothers.
Yeah,
they've been around for a while.
I thought they were always barn builders.
Well, I think they did houses too.
I thought they were always just barns, but. Yeah. They whipped that one out pretty quick. I mean, it's smaller than this one, obviously, but
yeah,
still, it's.
It looks pretty nice.
It does. Yeah.
And I like the way they built the lot up and graded around there.
The best thing they did was tear down that guy's barn too. Did you see that? He had that old pole barn in the back. The next door neighbor.
Oh yeah.
He had that old pole barn that was in the back that was. It had already fallen down all on its own, but they look like they cleaned it all up and it's all gone.
Hmm.
So, and I don't know who moved into the guy that has the huge long lot next to them. Whoever lived, I don't know who that is now.
Well, the first one, well, that's a common drive, I think. And the first one, that guy's the one that used to fly around that little plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I think he moved out, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought they sold that last year. I thought they sold that property last year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Maybe I'm wrong. I thought they did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I haven't seen him. I used to always watch him fly around.
He used to fly quite a bit.
Because I was always sitting inside jealous that he was flying around, and I was stuck on the ground. Looked like fun. When I saw him, I looked into those things were like $5,000. They were pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Looked like fun, though.
I don't know. He came down in our field one time.
Did he?
Yeah.
Ran out of gas?
No, I think it was something to do with the wind, and he brought it down. Really. Yeah.
I've seen, he had a backpack one, I think, right? His was just a backpack.
Yeah.
I've seen the ones where it's a go-kart, and you can, the go-kart, the fan sits on the back of the go-kart, and you take off, and those are pretty cool. Still has a parachute and everything, just like his did, but looked like fun. One of my friend's dad in Litchfield had one, the backpack one. I'll never forget, he took off, and you could hear him giggling when he was up in the air. He loved it. He thought it was the greatest thing. And he stuck up there for a long time, probably about 45 minutes we were watching him. And the only reason he was up there so long is because he didn't know how to land. He was too nervous to come in. And when he came in, you're supposed to get so close and you kill the engine. And you're supposed to, you know, you just kind of, you're supposed to pull back on the parachute so you slow down. He didn't. He was hauling ass and he couldn't keep up with his feet. And just
it
was hilarious. He sold it right after that. He said, I'm never going to do this again. Almost done?
I think so.
So is this, if you can answer, is this the same issue that has been going on, or is this another employee discipline?
They'll tell you when you get out okay. there, but...
Because they've had a lot of them. Not a lot of them, but it seems like it's every other meeting or something.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out records and documentation for stuff, and it's hard because we have new technology and stuff, so it gets hard. That'll explain it.
All right.
I didn't get to eat today, so this is my dinner.
Oh boy.
I live in Canal Fulton, so I live 40 minutes away, so day ended, and I just didn't have time to go get food before people come in. Did you drive your ATV up today?
No. I had it sitting out ready to drive it up here, and it started spitting the rain, and I said, screw it.
Well, you don't got a windshield on that one, do you?
It's like a half windshield. Mm. But I tell you what, when you're driving down the road,
it hurts.
Well, it deflects back up this way, and you don't even feel it in your head when you're driving. If you're going like 40 miles an hour, you don't even feel the wind. It's pretty wild how well it works.
Did you flip it up or no?
Mine's just that half. I was gonna look into. We were talking about going winter riding at Hatfield McCoy because they're open year round. And I said, well, yeah, maybe I'll look into a cab, you know, doors and stuff. It's like $4,000 for doors and windows and a back panel. I mean, it's nuts. I said, nah.
Is that installed?
No, it was like $2,500, I think, alone just for the doors. But they're crank-up windows, and I mean, they're pretty nice, but not $2,500 worth. I just wear overalls and a jacket.
I was going to say, that's when you just bundle up and go.
Yeah. You keep the wind off you.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's it.
Too bad.
Yeah.
I mind that windshield gets dirty. I was thinking should get at least maybe a manual windshield wiper.
Can yours pop up the top?
It goes up, yeah.
Does it? I thought about getting one of those.
It's pretty nice.
See, the only thing you'd have to do if you went riding in the winter is you just have to get like a snowmobile mask for your helmet. Because like at Hatfield, you have to wear a helmet the whole time.
Yeah.
So you just have to get one of those snowmobile ones that has the heating element inside so it doesn't fog up, you know. You just plug it into the 12-volt outlet. Because otherwise you wouldn't be able to see anything in about 2 seconds.
I used to take my old truck down to Wellsville. So I broke it down at
Wellsville. Wellsville's nuts. Those guys are nuts down there.
I still have it. I just don't drive it. 40-minute drive. I'm not going to drive. I have a Titan.
Okay.
Yeah. I took it down to Wellsville, and I blew out my suspension.
Blew it.
About $3,500.
I went one time with one of my buddies that has a Razor.
Mm, that was nice.
He was climbing up shit that was like straight up in the air. I said, he goes, you going to come up here with me? I said, no, I'll sit on the ground and I'll watch you kill yourself. I said, this is stupid.
And we went out when we were out west one time at close to Ketchum, Idaho.
Okay.
And they do rock climbing there.
Yeah, those guys are.
And we went back. We rode back for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 miles on the 4x4s, and those people were nuts with her. But they were built up. They were built.
Oh yeah. Oh, and they have like 800 horsepower. I mean, those things aren't just little V6. I mean, they're nasty. They're specifically built for rock crawling. But some of those, you see especially some of the stuff on the internet I've seen, is guys literally going up, you know, 200-foot rock walls that are like straight up, and they're making it somehow.
I was watching on YouTube what they were doing with their Yamaha, just, you know, going up.
Oh yeah, like that new YXZ, or that
no, the one like my
old
one, yeah. And you know, it, it would just take a little bit to bring that back over.
Yeah.
My buddy's got one of those wagons. He's and he's got two big subwoofers in the back, a winch on the front, so he'll be going through. And if he gets close enough, he just kind of pop it out. He can reach out in front and throw the winch up. And if he's, that's like a security blanket. If he gets stuck, he's gonna pull himself up the hill.
Those things are,
they're fast.
They're really fast.
Scary fast. I don't drive it. Nope. It's too fast. Too fast because it, I always worry that if I'm gonna hit that, if I hit a turn too fast, it's gonna keep going. That roll cage and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I still don't trust it.
That's that one that yellow one makes with a clutch.
Yeah.
Actual foot clutch. I don't know how the hell that works.
I don't think I
can. Yeah, and it's got the gear shift in the middle. Yeah. It's
fastest I have mine is like if we'd be going from one trail to the next on the highway down there.
Yeah.
You can go on the road and I think maybe 35 or so. There's no need. And then when you get back on those logged roads and strip mine roads, 15, 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, you can't go any faster than that. You just beat the crap out of yourself.
Yeah, there's no need to go any faster than that.
I think I had mine up to 66 one time.
Is that right? Yeah.
And it shook the shit out of me. Those tires are terrible for that high speed.
Yeah.
I tried that one time the first time I got that three-wheeler. I was at my parents' house, and I think I was going, I mean, that thing doesn't go any faster than 40 miles an hour, but when you hit 40 miles an hour, that front end's just going like this.
Yeah, Tom Ward, he had that little, he had the smaller one before the big red, I forget what they call that, and he wore it out, and then the big red, he rode that a lot, and he could go on it. We changed the tires, though. Once we changed the tires, it was pretty good.
Yeah. I used to take that hunting all the time in the winter. Thing ran like crap when you first started up, but if you started up in the morning, it could sit all day and start right back up.
Yeah.
But if it sat overnight, it was screwed. Because I used to take it out to Hinkley and go through the fields, and it didn't matter how deep the snow was, it would always just chug right through. Yeah.
You watch it on the phone.
We could all huddle around the phone.
I was so mad at the Browns yesterday. I was furious.
You were mad?
I was
mad. I didn't know how to feel.
I didn't either, but it ended up being mad. After about 10 minutes, I was mad because I started thinking.
Has your heart ever done this so much in an overtime? Good Lord. Oh, wow.
When Pittsburgh missed their field goal, I went, oh my God, we're going to win. And then Pittsburgh blocked ours, and I went, yeah, we fucked up.
I told Bob, I mean, literally yesterday.
I knew they were blocking it.
I was there. I mean, I'm sitting there, and they got that last interception. And I literally was sitting there with tears in my eyes, so happy. Just thought, there's no way we can lose this. I mean, I hate the Steelers.
They did great at the end of the game. They actually did really good in the fourth quarter. But the rest of the game was kind of ugly.
Yeah.
And then I've never been so high on life, and then just...
you were hoping that the free beer would open up everywhere.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they didn't say if the Browns tie, they'll give out the free beer.
You don't get it.
You know, it's only like four or five bars, I think. It's really not that many.
They're everywhere at the stadium. There's like 26 of those containers.
Oh, I didn't know they were at the stadium. I didn't see them.
Yeah, they're at the stadium.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. They're behind all the, those portable beer.
Yeah.
People, that's, they have them back there.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, they have a blank, a black dug over top. Yeah.
Hmm.
I didn't know that.
Are you limited on what you can get?
You know, I don't know the rules of it. I just know that they're there because I went to the preseason game and they were there.
I'm sure it's one. They're not going to give us 12 beers after a game.
Will they drive home? Like that other beer night.
One was 10 cent beer night?
Yeah.
What was that? Was that the...
Crazy, I think.
Was that in the 70s or 60s?
70s,
probably.
Yeah.
They said they had to cancel. They had to call the game because everybody was so drunk. That's great. Top of the third, the Rays are up 4-1. They scored 4 points, 4 runs.
The Indians aren't even trying.
And they're in first. I guess they don't
try a lot of games. Like, I think they only have to win like 7 of the remaining games to clinch the division.
And they can keep everybody away from drones and other stupid shit.
No. Trevor Bauer's being... play with his drone. He's probably been playing with it all the time he's been out.
I didn't know Andrew Luck hurt himself snowboarding.
I didn't know that either.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's why his shoulder was screwed up all last year. Mm-hmm. Browns tried to trade for him. I read that today.
Yeah, I heard that.
The Browns were trying, before Sashi Brown got fired, the Browns were trying to trade the number one, number three, pretty much all our picks. They were trying to trade 1, 3, and 33. For Andrew Luck. they were grasping anybody. That's why they tried to get Garoppolo, and then they...
Well, we were never getting Garoppolo. Bill Belichick would never let us have Garoppolo. Ever. No matter, we could offer him every... We could offer our first round pick for the next 20 years. He'd never let us have him. Ever. That's just how things go. Sam Darnold threw a pick six on the first play.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know what? I hate Sam Darnold, so perfect. I really do, because he went off and said, after he wasn't drafted by the Browns, he said the Browns would rue the day that they didn't draft him. And I'm going, we got Baker Mayfield. I mean, 70% completion rating.
It's like we were talking earlier, it's hard to see who's actually going to make it in the NFL from college. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of guys that are studs in college, and once they get to the NFL, they're not that good.
Trent Richardson.
Yeah.
And you can blame the Browns, but you really can't. The guy averaged like 1 yard a carry, and they had Joe Thomas. So
Peyton Hillis was another one, and the only reason Peyton Hillis was so good because they had Lawrence Vickers at fullback. And everywhere Lawrence Vickers went in the NFL after he left the Browns, whoever the running back was just did awesome because he was just such a beast.
We got some guy named Vitelli? I don't know much about him. They don't draft fullbacks anymore.
Nobody does. I don't know why.
Because they try to take a running back. Because prime example, like Nick Chubb yesterday trying to block for Tyrod Taylor.
I just got destroyed.
You don't do that. You put a fullback back there who's 245 pounds and can hold his own against the defensive lineman. Not a 215-pound running back.
So me and Bob were talking about earlier today, they were just blocking. It's just so terrible. Our offensive line is just terrible. It's not...
You know,
it's the worst it's been probably since they came back. Pretty close.
I wouldn't go that far. I really wouldn't go that far.
Maybe not, but...
3 years ago was the worst I'd ever seen it. 3 years ago, I think they let up like 27 sacks.
They let up 7.
Did they really let up 7?
They let up 7 sacks. And that was the thing, is Tyrod, he wasn't getting hit softly. He was getting taken down.
Well, and how about that? All the penalties?
Yeah.
I mean, they're calling penalties on every single possible.
Yeah, they're getting carried away with that.
That's what my fiance, she said, this is just stupid. She goes, this is ridiculous. I said, well, this is the NFL now. I said, since that movie came out about head injuries, they're going to call penalties on everything until
protecting the quarterback.
Right? Well, it's like Myles Garrett takes down Ben Roethlisberger, and you go, well, you know, if he had twisted his body to the side, he would have been fine. It wasn't the late hit. It wasn't how hard he had twisted to the side.
They came back out today and said that was a bad call.
Yeah. Oh, did they? Yeah. That was a terrible call. Yeah. That was a 15-yard penalty.
Mm-hmm. That's just funny. One call, it's amazing how one call can
mm-hmm.
just change the entire game. I mean, really. It's
pretty wild. I played college football. I know all about that.
Where'd you play at?
Played for Muskegon University. Well, first I played for Kent State, and then I went to Muskegon University.
Okay.
Yeah, Muskegon sucked. They're pretty bad. I played fullback, so I was like the tallest fullback in all of college football. And like, we would have games where we'd be within, like, we were within literally a point because we'd missed the extra point. We get all the way down to the 5-yard line to kick a field goal. It was brutal. Brutal. There was a couple games where we get called for penalty. Like, I got called for a pass interference penalty, and I wasn't even going out for a pass. But it was just like how I was positioned. I apparently did something to somebody, offensive pass interference. It was great. Fantastic.
My brother played for Ohio Wesleyan.
Oh, okay. I don't think we ever played that.
They were D3, I think.
We were D3 too.
Yeah.
I only spent half a season in Kent.
My brother only spent one season in Ohio Wesleyan. He parted his ass off too hard.
See, I hurt my knee, and I decided I didn't like the academics at Kent, so I left and went to Muskegon. And then I was there for, I was there for a year. And then they said, oh, you want to play football? And I went, yeah, I can try again. So, it was fun. It was a good time. But, now the Browns, Tyrod Taylor just needs to throw the ball. He does. He's got a good arm. He just needs to throw the ball.
His deep arm sucks. It doesn't even hit his...
Yeah, that's why that wide interception to Josh Gordon happened, because he couldn't get it over top of the defender.
Yeah. That's going to be, as we were saying earlier, is this going to be tough because Josh Gordon's a deep guy. He outruns you. But if we don't have a quarterback that can throw deep.
Well, that's why I think that you have to give Baker Mayfield some. I'm not saying he's the all-time guy, but he's got a deep arm. So.
Well, he should be the quarterback. It's just.
I'm not sold either way.
I mean, not this year, but he should be the future quarterback, but I wouldn't put him in.
I thought he did fantastic in the preseason.
I thought he did too, but.
But I think just starting him against the Browns would have. We can't do what we did with Deshaun Kizer.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We're doing better than the Bills. So.
We got a good defense too. Our defense is really good.
I'm pretty sure what I saw yesterday, Josh Allen and Peterman combined for like 46 yards. The two of them throwing the ball, 46 yards. Against the Ravens, and the Ravens really aren't that great.
Mm-mm.
I mean, they're not a bad team, but you shouldn't lose being that bad. So, and I think the Bills are going to be pretty garbage. I think they messed up. I think they should have built around Tyrod Taylor. I think that they should have done what we did. And I'm glad that we're doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Jarvis Landry is like the perfect guy for Tyrod Taylor.
Landry's gonna get called for a lot of holding penalties. That guy's, he can't block with shit. He holds on that. I watched him yesterday. He's not a good blocker, which is really, there's not a whole lot of wide receivers that are, but he'll be called on a couple times this year where it'll be a key play and he'll get called for a holding and we'll get screwed.
Can't get more screwed than we did. Paul starts 4 times yesterday.
2 in a row, too.
But you know, we had that new kid in at left tackle.
Yep.
And I'll be honest with you. Being his first ever NFL game and not playing for 2 years, that looked pretty good.
They targeted him pretty hard.
Yes, they did. He held his own. I'd say like at least 75-80% of the time, he held his own. I mean, the Steelers have a really tough front seven. They just do. They got a really tough front seven, so, they're going to bring pressure. They're going to blitz. It's just what's going to happen. I don't know what's going on now. I thought we figured it out. I said I got better things to do, I think.
You did? Give up?
There's cold beer at my house. Sounds more fun than this. See you guys later. Deb.
Well, he might have a great idea.
Give him a few more minutes.
See you later.
Take care.
Celia's gonna kill me.
Did you?
I did. I swore I pressed pause. Okay, well, we're resumed because...
We never unresumed?
Stop.
We are back from executive session at 8:38 PM, where the three trustees, fiscal officer, and Matt Schley were discussing employee discipline. Take it away, Michael.
No decisions were made.
No decisions are ever made in these executive sessions.
It was brought to the trustees' attention of some inaccuracies of timesheets as relate to hours outside of the workplace, along with overtime hours. Some of these inaccuracies may have been brought on by the use by us, the trustees, as to not giving specific enough direction on documentation of work-related items done outside the normal work hours. Discipline going forward will be a verbal reprimand to the employee per the employee handbook and recommendation from the prosecutor's office. Going forward, corrective action going forward will be put in place, including but not limited to standardization of all township timesheets, clarification and documentation of work done after hours, including overtime, and a spot audit of past timesheets will be conducted of all employees.
I'd like to say also there was a public records request for security video to be released. I'd like to make a motion at this time.
I'm sorry. So that was a motion to have that done, or is that your recommendation?
This is my recommendation.
So do you want to adopt that recommendation?
I'll make a motion to adopt Mike's recommendation.
I'll second that motion.
Any discussion?
The discussion I would have is that, you know, you said that discipline would be a verbal warning to this particular employee. And that is such because these discrepancies weren't major, right? I mean, is that fair to say? Or why is it just a verbal? Because it says in the handbook we can do from a verbal on down to a dismissal. So in this particular instance, you're suggesting we do a verbal. I'm just looking for clarification as to why.
I believe because part of it,
the schools.
Due to discussion of the inaccuracies, and like I said before, clarification as to what was, how we wanted documentation written on timesheets and how we wanted work documented outside of the normal business hours, warranted just a verbal warning at this time. I feel that it wasn't anything that was done, you know, out of harm or that it was just an oversight type thing because we didn't give enough clarification how we wanted to go forward. Part of it was, like I said, in the thing, our documentation for our timesheets throughout the whole township, each department has their own different timesheets. Some departments have three different timesheets for three different departments. There's no standardization as to how things can be documented. And that's why I said, going forward, we're gonna make a standardized timesheet for the whole township. So documentation can be done and everybody has the exact same timesheet that we can kinda know exactly where to look for and things like that. So things could be done across the board in the same fashion. Not having, you know, one department having a different timesheet, whereas you don't know how they document their outside work or how they document their overtime versus another department. They might have a different way of the way they document it versus the other one, whereas this way we're all on one page going forward.
Awesome. That's just, I mean, that's what I was looking for. I just, You know, in a case where we're talking about doing other audits of other employees, that if we find something more severe, that, that we're not limited to just the verbal reprimand. Okay. I'm ready for the vote.
Mark Raddis?
Aye.
Ken DeMichael?
Aye.
Mike Stupa?
Aye. There was a public records request to release security video. I'd like to make a motion at this time not to release the security video by recommendation of the prosecutor's office. I'll second.
Discussion?
I'll explain it. He alluded to anything that could be jeopardize the security of a public office is not considered public record, being that it's clearly security video. No one really needs to have access to that.
And who got that information from the prosecutor's office?
I did. It was Brian Richter that I spoke to. There is a, I believe, an ORC code that corresponds with this, so he said if we need that, we can get that, but
thank
that's
you.
Anything
because
that...
I believe that that was going to... thank you, yes.
Yeah.
Any other discussion?
No.
Roll call.
Mark Raddis?
Aye.
Mike Stupa?
Aye.
Ken DeMichael?
Aye. I just had a quick question about this that came.
Yeah, I can explain that. There was a request sent to me to look into the call. It was last week, and I won't include any information because it's HIPAA protected. But just why the fire department did not respond to the call.
Okay.
And that would explain why, because it wasn't, it didn't come out. Typically when they're on special detail, they call in, it's agreed protocol that they do not respond unless asked to respond.
Here's my question.
And they were never asked.
I have one question regards that though, mm-hmm. Mark. So it says they were in another jurisdiction, which they have, you know, fire authority over. Do we not have a thing in our agreement that we have one station being covered, especially at this time of the day, and then the other station is Montville's? So, you know what I'm saying? Wasn't it specified in the contract that they would have people at the stations they're going to be covering during the day would be Montville and Medina City 1, and then after 4 o'clock to midnight, it was going to be Medina City 1 and station
staffed.
Staffed,
yes.
Staffing
does not mean that they're going to be there.
No, but if you have, like they said, they were doing a special detail in Montville.
Mm-hmm.
They needed two trucks to do the special detail, so they took basically a truck out of this area that would be covering our jurisdiction for fire coverage to send over to Montville to have two trucks over that side of town during the day. What happens if there was a car accident on this side?
Right.
That they would have had, they would have come all the way across town for a car accident that would have been, could have been, you know, 71 or whatever. I don't understand that whole concept in regards to...
Yeah, you can follow up with Chief Painter,
okay.
I'm sure, on that.
But you got to kind of follow up.
Yeah, I was just...
Ingersoll to see exactly.
It was strictly for this one call.
Okay.
Someone asked me, and I'd asked that the address be removed because it is a HIPAA issue, too.
Has the address been removed?
Yes, I believe
so.
Can
we get that? I need that for the minutes, then.
The address has not been removed.
Right.
Let me see.
So we'll redact that.
Well, this came from the city of Medina, so.
Wait, are we talking, the HIPAA violation is the person's address?
I'm not sure it's a violation or not. I'm just trying to protect.
You're talking about,
I mean, there's no names,
individual.
There's no individuals, but I would say that.
Yeah, you don't necessarily want that in the record.
Correct.
We'll check with the prosecutor's office, but I'm fairly certain that the address can be redacted.
Okay.
So.
Anything else?
I have nothing. Nothing.
Move to open the floor for public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Ken DeMichael?
Aye.
Mark Raddis?
Aye.
Mike Stupa?
Aye.
Ray, anything? All right, then. Move to close the floor for public comment.
Second.
Ken DeMichael?
Aye.
Mark Raddis?
Aye.
Mike Stupa?
Aye.
Anything further? Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Kind of Michael?
Aye.
Mark Raddis?
Aye.
Mike Stoeckle?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned 8:48 PM.